Tonight we're going to talk about Jesus' disciples. I want to look at how he trained them, how they reacted to him, and especially how they reacted to his death. And for sure, how they reacted to the resurrection. From this, we're going to learn how we should react to the one of the greatest single events in human history. We're going to look at what Jesus expects from us. Now, we know that when he was arrested, all of the followers that were with him deserted him and ran away. They were all afraid for their lives. Now, this sure doesn't speak very well for the disciples, does it? They had just spent 3 years being taught by Jesus, learning who Jesus was, and in one night they forgot all about it and ran away and went into hiding. We also know that while Jesus was on the cross, the soldiers cast lots, which means something similar to throwing dice. And they threw dice for his only possessions, his clothes. He was even laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. When you think about it, Jesus really didn't have a lot to show at the end of his life. The last of his followers had run off and deserted him and were cowering in fear in the upper room, and they were soon talking about returning to their lives as fishermen. They thought it was all over. They couldn't understand how they had gotten things so wrong, but it was clearly all over with Jesus' death. They thought this had been a really, really bad dream. Jesus owned nothing. He had nothing to pass on to anyone. On the other hand, the religious leaders of that day were rejoicing. They had gotten rid of a meddlesome rabbi that had caused them a great deal of problems. The corrupt governor, he too was rejoicing because he had avoided a riot from the mob that could have jeopardized his standing with Rome. Jesus had done the most monumental thing in human history. He had opened the way for all of mankind to be reconciled with God, and it seems that hardly anybody knew about it or cared. Certainly no one appreciated it for what it was. Now, if nobody got the word out about what Jesus had done, do you think anything could have come of it? Probably not. And the only people who could or would take out and send out and go and deliver this message were in hiding, afraid for their lives. On the surface, you would have thought that the Son of God could have done a little bit better than that, right? Then came Sunday morning. Then came the resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he began to appear to his followers. Now, if you have ever had any doubt that the resurrection was clearly a real historical fact, then the reaction of his disciples should convince you. Just look at the effect the resurrection had on the disciples. They were cowering in fear, afraid for their lives, and they just immediately went out and started boldly proclaiming that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and had saved the world and died for all of our sins. The change in them was so dramatic that later in their lives, 10 of the 11 remaining apostles was killed rather than abdicate their statements and deny the existence of the resurrection. And these few people were extremely effective in getting the word out in no time at all, probably a little over 30 years. Christianity had spread throughout most of the known world. Tonight, I want to take a good look at the method that Jesus chose to get his message out. Now remember, Jesus had known for some time what was coming. He knew what his mission was, and he could have done anything he wanted to prepare for those events. He could have spent 3 years becoming famous and doing spectacular things that would convince people he was the Son of God. He could have traveled all over the world meeting and influencing important people. But Jesus didn't do any of those things. He never traveled more than a few miles outside of Israel, and that he did only very rarely. He never tried to get in with high-class people, the ones who had influence and could convince other people. What he did do was pour himself into a few people, his 12 disciples. He made sure that they knew that God loved them. He made sure that they knew God wanted the very best for them. And he gave them a new commandment. Do you remember what it was? From John 13, verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This was the great new message that the world had been waiting for so long and the world had missed out on for so long. God wants to love us and wants us to love him and to love one another. And this compelling message the world had been left out of for so long, and look how Jesus chose to spread the message. He trained a select few people, we call them disciples, and he told them to go out and share the good news and make more disciples. Now, the very last thing Jesus said to them is recorded the last verses in the Gospel of Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus gave his disciples and us, I might point out, our marching orders. And this, and the key to this commission is that they and we should make new disciples. So the first question is, what exactly is a disciple? Now, when I think about the word disciple, I think of one who follows, a follower. A believer. Someone who believes in, trusts in, and follows someone else. Well, I looked it up. And here's what the dictionary says. A disciple is a person who is a pupil, that means student, and adheres to the doctrines of another. That means to believe in that person. Colon, a follower. Notice its definition tacks on a follower almost like an afterthought. The important thing is it's one who studies under. It is a pupil, a student. Being a follower is part of being a disciple, but it's not even the most important part. The most important part of being a disciple is that you're a student studying under a master that you believe in. So if we want to be Jesus' disciples, how do we do this? We can't sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him teach us like the original disciples did. Instead, we have to go where his words are recorded in the Bible. The Gospels are especially important to us because they have recorded the actual words and actions of Jesus. But the entire Bible teaches us the doctrines that Jesus was teaching during his earthly ministry. Paul wrote a very inspiring letter to one of his disciples, Timothy, and in it, Paul wanted to stress the importance of Timothy sticking to teaching from the Scriptures. Look what Paul told him in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God, and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize our mind. Corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, notice the first thing Paul says is that all Scripture is God-inspired. Now, there is another way to translate that word, and it could be translated God-breathed. Just like God breathed life into Adam, and Jesus breathed on his disciples when he wanted them to receive the Holy Spirit. The idea is that the breath of God is life. So he has given life to the scriptures. Then Paul says that scripture is useful. But look how it is useful. It is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. If we study the scriptures, we will know what is true. We will know the truth. And I want to show you what Jesus said about the truth in John 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, I want you to notice something that Jesus says, qualifying this statement. You have to remain faithful to his teachings. Now, if we don't do that, then all bets are off. And I'm going to ask you, is there any way to remain faithful to Jesus' teaching unless we know what they are? Of course not. So we have to learn what Jesus' teachings are, then we need to do them. And then we will know the truth, and then the truth will set us free. By learning and following the scriptures, Jesus says, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Now, look back at Paul's letter to Timothy, and notice that Paul concludes by saying that God uses the scripture to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Isn't that what we all want to do? Don't we want to do the right thing? As the program teaches, always just do the next right thing. Don't we want to be good people doing good things for others? Paul shows us emphatically what we must do. When we learn more about the scriptures, then we are prepared and equipped to be the kind of people we always wanted to be. So how do we learn all this? How do we get the knowledge of the scriptures into our heads and into our hearts? Well, one thing to do that you're doing right now by attending worship services where the scriptures are read and taught. You're learning them. But that isn't nearly enough. We need to be reading and studying our Bibles daily. Even if we only read a little bit, we need to read something from the scripture every day. There's also daily devotionals like Upper Room, Daily Bread, God Calling. These are excellent tools. They always have a scripture reading for that day, and then an example of how that scripture applies to us today. And these devotionals are very helpful to keep us in the habit of looking at God's Word every day. Another good thing to do is read Bible commentaries. reading a commentary can give us a lot of background information about each book of the Bible, like when it was written, who wrote it, and tells us a little bit about the people that it was written to. It's always important to place the scriptures in context, and these commentaries are very helpful in doing that. Another important thing is to try to take part in a regular Bible study, preferably a weekly Bible study. If there isn't one around you, start one. Sharing with a group of people your understanding of the scriptures and talking about it and how it has affected your life and hearing this from others is an excellent way to better be able to apply what you read in scripture to your daily life. Okay. So let's say we're doing all those things. Is that all there is to being a disciple? Actually, no. There are at least two more things you need to do if you want to be true disciples of our Lord. If we're doing everything we can to learn more about Jesus, the next thing we need to do is to do everything we can to improve our relationship with Him. Learning a lot of things about Jesus will not nearly be as useful if we don't develop a relationship with Him. After all, Christianity is not so much a religion as it is a relationship with God through Christ and a relationship with other believers. So, how do we develop this relationship with Christ? Well, how do you develop a relationship with anyone? You spend time with them. You talk to them. You get to know them. And I might add, you do things for them. Well, that's how we develop a relationship with Christ. We call talking with Christ prayer, and listening to Him is meditation. We should start off each day by offering our day to God, asking Him if there's anything He would like us to do that day. And then don't forget to listen for the answer, because He will tell you. Or you could rephrase that by saying, we should daily offer our will and our lives over to the care of God, and then seek to improve our conscious contact with Him through prayer and meditation. Praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Does that sound familiar? That's the third step in the 11th step prayers. Then, after we start our day that way, throughout the day, we should constantly be reminding ourselves that Christ is with us and we try to act accordingly. When in doubt about an action we're thinking of doing, a good question to ask ourselves is, would Jesus do this? And if Jesus wouldn't do it, then we probably shouldn't either. Then at the end of each day, we should perform what theologians call a self-examination. That's a highfalutin word for the 10th step, right? We should look over our day and measure it against what we have learned in Scripture for how Christ Christ wants us to act. When we see that we've fallen short, we should ask for the strength to do better tomorrow. And then, if we have harmed anyone, we need to make amends as soon as possible. Now, let's assume that we're doing everything we can to learn more about Christ, and we're doing everything we can to improve our relationship with Him. Now, are we doing everything a disciple should do? Almost, but not quite. There's one more thing that God wants from us. Remember the method that Jesus used to spread the word after His death. He selected a few people and He made them into disciples and He gave them the Great Commission. You remember that? We looked at it earlier. Matthew 28. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And those first disciples did just that. They spent the rest of their lives sharing the good news and making new disciples. But let me tell you something. If they were the only ones who ever spread the word, then Christianity would have died out within a generation of the first disciples. You see, there's one more thing about being a disciple that we need to know. And that is, disciples should take it on themselves to spread the good news even further. When Jesus told His first disciples that their job was to make new disciples, He was telling us the same thing. It is every Christian's responsibility to spread the gospel, the good news. We need to never be ashamed to tell people where our hope comes from. The way Jesus wants the word to get out is for each Christian to accept it as their responsibility to spread the word. Now, I might add, the only way for any church to grow is for its members to invite others, share with others what's happening in their lives, what God has done for them, and inviting them to come and see for themselves what God is doing. Have you ever invited anyone to come to church with you? I know several of you have. So there you have it. If you want to be a disciple, you need to do three things. First, you need to learn as much as you can about Jesus. Second, you need to do all you can to improve your relationship with Christ. And finally, you need to share with others what Christ is doing in your life and invite them to join you on this marvelous journey. By doing these three simple things, you will be a disciple of the most important person in human history, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And nothing in our lives is more important than than that. Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank you for those first 11 disciples, that they spread the word so that we could hear it. We thank you for all the disciples down through the years who have spread the news so that we could hear it. We thank you for whoever it was that told us about the good news. And we thank you that you have given us the power and the ability to spread the good news ourselves. We pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will daily try to improve our relationship with you. Daily we will try to learn more and more about you. And daily we will try to do what we can for you to spread the good news. Help us, Lord, to become a little bit more like you each day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.